If work is how they see us, and money the means of illumination, and we want to be free to chart our own course, released from the schemes of statesmen, we have to start seeing ourselves differently. We have to break the hold of their eyes. To free our minds, we have to start seeing reality. So let's turn now to Galbraith and see if he can help us with that project. He starts by reminding us of the con that we're told ad infinitum by power. And this is where the pundits generally start and end, with simple regurgitation, the propaganda of the system. This is a quote early on from the book Inequality and Instability by James Galbraith. And this is from page 3 to 5. Quote, the economists in the tradition espoused, for example, by Professor Benjamin Bernanke at Princeton, were devoted to the view that except for occasional bouts of bad policy caused by a central bank creating either too much money or too little, that the economy always tends towards stability at full employment. Following the stabilizing prescriptions of Milton Friedman, bad policy could be avoided, and crises of that sort we endured in the 1930s could not recur. Wise policy, inspired by wise principle, had given us a great moderation, a new world of stable output growth, high employment, and a low and stable inflation rate. This would not be disturbed in any serious way by credit markets. Until just a month before the crisis broke into public consciousness in August 2007, the official prognosis of the Federal Reserve Board, by then chaired by the same Professor Bernanke, was that all problems in the housing sector were, quote unquote, manageable. This was the pure product of something economists called the quest for, quote, logically consistent micro foundations for macroeconomics, unquote. Perfect reason, perhaps? My interjection. Continuing with Galbraith. An economics completely disengaged from the sources of financial and economic instability. Not only was there no recognition of inequality, and not only was there no study of the link of inequality to financial instability, there was practically no study of credit, and therefore no study of financial instability at all. In a discipline that many might suppose would concern itself with the problems of managing an advanced financial economy, the leading line of argument was that no such problems could exist. The leading argument was, in fact, that the system would manage itself, and the effort by government, a human and therefore flawed institution, to intervene was practically certain to do more harm than good. In retrospect, it all seems almost unbelievably odd. Unquote. Now, if something is unbelievably odd, that's because you shouldn't believe it. Come on. Come on. And I don't want to jump too far ahead of my commentary here. In waking up, I quoted then Congressman Jay Inslee, who was taken aback when Dick Cheney, who was meeting with him and others as vice president, turned to him and said, quote from Dick Cheney to Congressman Jay Inslee, you know what your trouble is? You just don't understand economics, unquote. Now this boggled him, Congressman Inslee, as he had a degree in economics. But you see, he had no degree in jungle ethics. He had no degree in power. So most likely he, as well as Galbraith, at least initially, and perhaps still to a degree, takes power at its word when it claims that it believes that the market should be, in theory, self-regulating. But that, of course, they, these philosopher kings, are still needed nonetheless to make sense of all that quote-unquote complexity and, of course, to manage us. Now, Galbraith knows, of course, that the market isn't self-regulating. It's obvious that it's not. And he knows that it could not be. But I think he takes seriously power's sincerity, power in its academic and statesmanly-like form, in thinking that it could be. This book by Galbraith is useful for many things, but one unintended by him, I think, is that it provides an excellent illustration of the tactic of proof, or I should say, of the con of proof. Our training to believe that we cannot trust our bodies but must wait for experts to deliver us from doubt and find the key that can successfully convert our rich black earth to numbers and empty categories. And for this, we pay them well in blood and stolen dreams and untold tears of disappointment and regret. Galbraith seems so pleased. He's quantified a truth we've known for centuries, that poverty is the flip of plenty, or more specifically, that final consumption of the planet is done through debt. Immanuel Wallerstein told us this 5 years ago. Why does it seem to matter so much to the middle-ranking auxiliaries that money made for sculpting can be proved, when for such as I, my body's truth is what I listen to? It's not right, it says, my body, to sacrifice what is alive for some idea of good. It dishonors what Earth gave us, to give our gifts to those who but dismiss them. A malevolence that privatizes Earth and life and tells us we exist to serve it. The very idea my body revolts against. I need no proofs that it's not just and must be ended. I knew that from the moment I gave myself permission to listen to this bit of Earth I am.